WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side of the county.
County? This is a table, Sam.
Oh, yeah, you are on the other side of the
We're
table.
We're not even in our county, yeah, though, to yeah. be honest.
Just one of those things that, like I said, force of habit. But you are on the other side of the table for me, and we are on location. We are not in the studio this morning. We are out. We are out and about. We are at a locale that is that we are keeping to ourselves because we are going to be for much of the day hanging out with the football crew as Jim Harbaugh's golf outing is today, and we are going to catch up with many of them, some during the show, some after the show, and it's going to be a festive atmosphere. But a regular show for much of the show. We got a lot of media day content to get to as well. So really looking forward to it. My man, Mr. Ira Weintraub, how are you?
Sam, I'm good. I'm great. In fact, we got a beautiful view this morning. It's going to be a beautiful day. And we're going to have a lot of fun out here. And we're going to bring to people a little bit more from media days from last week, as media days was Thursday and Friday in Indianapolis. I've said Chicago so many times for media days because it's always there. But from Indianapolis, we have a little more of that. We're going to hear from some of the players. And as you said, we're here. We're going to hang out with some of the coaches and some former Michigan football players. It's going to be a lot of fun just being outside of the studio, you and I, again, out on location. It's been twice now in a few weeks, which is really nice. And so looking forward to a fun day, looking forward to a fun week. And as you know, this is the window for you and me as we're heading now into our vacation season. So I have a big smile on my face. I'm ready for a fun Monday, a fun week, fun set of weeks. And how about we jump right into the countdown of the Michigan football season, Sam? We might as well get right to it, right?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right, let's get to the countdown of the start of the Michigan football season. The countdown is brought to you by our friends at Lewis Jewelers, your watch store. You can find them in Ann Arbor on Stadium Boulevard and online at lewisjewelers.com. Lewis Jewelers, proud partner of Michigan Athletics and Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket. Before we get to today, yesterday, Sam, we were 41 days into the start of the Michigan football season. 41 days until Michigan and Western Michigan battle it out September 4th at Michigan Stadium. And so 2 days ago, it would have been 42. No 42s on the roster this year. Ben Mason was obviously wearing it last year. The 41s on the roster, I mentioned this to you right before we went off the air, or I guess right after we went off the air on Friday. And I mentioned that there's one of these kids is a walk-on. And I said to you, I go, oh, and he's from your favorite city in America. He's from Green Bay, Wisconsin. And you're like, oh, well, and it kind of piqued your interest. And I said, his name is Isaiah Gash. And you go,
is that Sam Gash's kid?
And so, of course, I click on mgoblue.com, and lo and behold, he is the son of Sam and Alicia Gash. His father, Sam, played fullback for the Patriots, the Bills, and the Ravens. And then he moved on to work in Green Bay. So he won a Super Bowl, in fact, in Baltimore with my Ravens. So, yes, great. And he actually grew up near Ann Arbor as part of his time. He's lived all over this place. Kid Isaiah Gash has lived all over the place. But yesterday we were 41 Isaiah Gash days until the start of the Michigan football season. And we were also 41 Nikai Hill Green. Try to say that slowly to enunciate it. Nikai Hill Green, a sophomore out of Pittsburgh, but played his high school football in Baltimore at St. Francis Academy, a linebacker, 6'1", about 225. And Sam, tell us about Nikai Hill Green.
So one of those Baltimore St. Francis kids who really caught Michigan's eye. I remember seeing him at the, I think he was coming out of a, what was it? It would have been the barbecue at the Big House a couple of years ago. And you could see a kid really athletic looking. Talked to Brian Doan about him. He said that's one of the things that he can really do. He can really run and move laterally really well. You want to see him get bigger. He was able to do that. And a guy that, if you talk to the folks on the inside, one of the guys whose athleticism they were very excited about, both staffs, the last staff and this staff, you know, it was one of those things where you look at some of the young linebackers, especially on this team, whether it's Nikai Hill Green or Khalil Mullings, who we'll get to at some point. Like, man, with what last year was, you wish they would have been able to get their, you know, get some snaps, get some more field time to have them even more prepared for this year in the way of experience. But it is what it is. Didn't happen. What you do know is you got a guy, along with Khalil Mullings, who brings you some more speed and athleticism to the position. Right now, the starting backers are seemingly pretty clear. Starting inside backers are seemingly pretty clear with Josh Ross. And then you look at last year's Viper, Mr. Weintraub. Last year's Viper.
Barrett, Mr. Barrett.
Yes, Mike Barrett are your two starting backers. But I really think that those the youngsters behind them, Nekai being one of them, is going to really get an opportunity to get more snaps as part of a rotation this year. Because, again, you know, a guy that probably is a half step faster than the guys in front of him, I think they're going to try to showcase that some more of that speed and athleticism this year.
All right, a quick aside. One, when I see that his birthday is December 30th, 2000, I feel really old. The second aside, this is a really good time to ask the question real quickly because Biff Poggi is coming back on staff. A lot of people have asked this whole, because the Wilshire thing, right? Wilshire goes to Michigan State. They can't recruit Cass Tech. So obviously they can't recruit St. Francis for a couple of years, but that's the only impact, right? It can't work backwards.
I have not confirmed the capacity because, you know, you look at the way the rule is stated. It's not just about the guys moving forward that would be impacted by his presence. I mean, so you got a couple questions. When in an official capacity did he stop coaching at St. Francis? That's number one. And then number two, in what capacity would he be coming on at Michigan? Does it matter if it's like a volunteer, unpaid position, like a non-official position on the roster
or
on
the staff? Because if you're not paid, if you're an unofficial advisor, you're a consigliere.
Yeah,
it's different than being a staff member. Yes.
That's different than being a staff member, okay. Because you would have to worry about Nekai Hill-Green and Blake Corum because it goes, you know, within 2 years
of either direction
of that person coming on staff. So that's why, you know, I don't know in what capacity. I don't know in what capacity he was on at St. Francis the last couple of years, and I don't know in what capacity he's being brought on at Michigan. Right. These are important questions when you talk about determining what is status on Michigan staff.
Right, the real answer to
or maybe the rule has changed. Yeah. That's the other thing.
The answer to the fans, the way I look at it, more anything else, neither Poggi or Harbaugh are going to do anything to jeopardize the eligibility of these young men.
Right.
So that's not in question.
Right.
It might be something about these not in question with these guys. People have asked that numerous times. I figured now would be a good time to bring it up because yesterday we were 41 Nekai Hill-Green and 41 Isaiah Gash days until the start of the Michigan football season. Sam, in fact, there are no number 40s today, so we can skip. There won't be any current number 40s. But I do have two former number 40s for you real quickly here as we continue to count down to the start of the Michigan football season. We are 40 Ron Simpkins days away until the start of the Michigan football season. Simpkins, born April 2nd, 1953, came to us out of Detroit Western High School, was on campus 1976 through 1979, a linebacker. And depending upon where you look, he's listed between 6'1.5 and 6'3. Between 215 and 228, and I think they listed him at 6'1", 235 in the NFL. So he was probably 6'1". In 1976, he saw playing time as a freshman. He won the John F. Maltbetch Award in the spring of 77, which is given every year to the Michigan player after spring ball. In fact, the Michigan freshman player after spring ball on the basis of desire, character, capacity for leadership, and future success both on and off the football field. I think they got this one right when they give that award to Ron Simpkins. In 1977, he led the team with 144 tackles as a sophomore, leading a defense in that gave up 8.8 points per game. They went 10-2 that year. He had 10 sacks, 5 fumble recoveries as well that season. And then, Sam, in Michigan's 14-6 win over Ohio State that year, he had 20 tackles, 15 of them solo. He had a recovery of a fumble that set up the game-winning touchdown as well. So needless to say, he stepped up in big games. And that was just as a sophomore. As a junior, he had another season where he had 144 tackles. It was another 10-2 team for the Wolverines. That defense gave up 8 points per game, and Simpkins was named first team All-Big Ten. And then in 1979, he led the team in tackles again. He was first team, he was team MVP, first team All-Big Ten, and first team All-American. In his 4 years at Michigan, Simpkins set a then-school record with 415 tackles. I'll mention who broke his record. Can you name who broke his record?
So give me, which record is that again?
Most tackles. It was at 415 when he set it. It was broken with 429.
For a linebacker.
It was any player, but it is a linebacker.
Broke, and so Eric Anderson?
No, a little later. Not much later. Right number, though.
Steve Morrison.
Next one.
Jared Irons.
Hey!
You're going to see Jay Irons today. Yeah, that's right.
Roth Kimball's also had 11 pass breakups, 7 fumble recoveries, and an interception in his career in the maize and blue. He was a 1987th round draft pick, 167th overall by the Cincinnati Bengals. He played there from 80 to 86, and then he played briefly for Sam's favorite team, the Green Bay Packers. Ron Simpkins had a 91-game NFL career, 22 starts. He is number 40 for the Wolverines. We are 40 Ron Simpkins days away until the start of the Michigan football season. And we are also 40 John Colasar days away until the start of the Michigan football season. John came to us out of Westlake, Ohio, Westlake High School, and you'll say a Michigan family. His father, Bill, was a tackle at Michigan from 53 to 55. Colasar was a tailback, but then he was recruited as a tailback, but he found his spot as a flanker receiver for the Wolverines, 6 foot, 190 or so pounds, 1985 to 1988. As a freshman, he, of course, was made famous for the 77-yard fourth quarter pass that he got caught from Jim Harbaugh in Michigan's 27-17 win over the Buckeyes in Ann Arbor. That was back in 85. Colasar was the first freshman receiver to record 2 100-yard receiving games in a regular season. That happened, of course, in 85. Carter did it in 1 regular season game and in a bowl game, so hence the stat is 2 regular season games for Colasar. Fast forward a few years, in 1988, Colasar, with less than 2 minutes left in the game, returned a kickoff 59 yards and then scored on a 41-yard pass, giving Michigan the 43-31 win in Columbus, and that was in 1988. He finished his Michigan career with 61 catches for 1,425 yards, a 23.4-yard average, 12 touchdowns. Also had he also had 12 rushes for 132 yards and a touchdown. He had 55 punt returns, 25 kick returns. And now his son Caleb, currently on the Michigan football team. And Sam, we would mention Caleb coming up, but he wears 35 that Saturday. We won't be around, so we will not get to him. But today we are 40 John Colasar and 40 Ron Simpkins days away until the start of the Michigan football season. The countdown of the Michigan football season brought to you by our friends at Lewis Jewelers, your watch store, proud partner of Michigan Athletics, and Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket.
Yeah, don't tell Jared.
I won't.
I was multitasking. If I had been focused.
Yeah, I know you would have gotten it.
If I had been focused, I would have gotten it. We're going to talk to Jared Irons a little bit later on today.
I would tell you that Ron Simpkins goes down. I've had a lot of conversations with Mike Spath about him because that's his dad, one of his dads, maybe his dad's all-time favorite player. And I've had a lot of conversations with him and other people about Ron Simpkins, guys, you know, people that watched Michigan in the 70s. And he's one of the guys, I think, from that era that I really wish I could have seen. Patrolling the middle of the defense, pounding running backs, coming through the hole, punishing offensive players. That's the kind of player that I think it would be fun to go back and see, like, play a game. Like, you can see highlights, but to just, like, watch a game and isolate and watch what he does at the linebacker position. I mean, Sam, that Ohio State game, 20 tackles, 15 of them solo. I mean, big time.
Yeah, I think he was a guy that maybe was a little before his time when you talk about the style of linebacker. He was. I think Ron Simpkins was the style of linebacker that would really fit in today's game because he wasn't one of the bigger, burlier guys.
Right,
that,
2 1/4, 2 1/3.
Yeah, he wasn't one of the bigger, burlier guys that you think about playing linebacker in that era.
Well,
right?
He's basically the same measurements as Nikai Hill-Green.
Right, exactly. There you go. And so, you know, you wonder if you were able to transport him to this day and age would hit. You know, as freaky as some of his stats were, would he be even more prominent a figure for Michigan if he had played today? A lot of players, you say, if you take them back, what would they have done back then? Him, I say, what if you had brought him forward and then he played now? What would it have been like? So interesting discussion, one that we will get into more as we go on throughout the day. I know we have a lot of tape to play, but piggybacking on a discussion we had closing last week, the expansion discussion seems like it's closer to coming to fruition. Interesting that we still haven't heard anything from Oklahoma. It's like Fort Knox for information with Oklahoma, but Texas is all flowing out left and right, right? You know, so two things really caught my ear. Number one, the Bowlesby. So, man, think about Bowlesby being on the playoff committee. The 12-team playoff committee, the secret clandestine
He playoff got played.
Committee. He's on the secret clandestine playoff committee. Played. And who else is on that secret clandestine playoff committee but Greg Sankey?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just sitting right next to him while
he got played.
It's like, man.
If nothing else came out of the weekend, Sam, what I pull out of the weekend is that Texas, and we talked about this briefly, Texas A&M and the Big 12 in general, but Bowlesby in particular. So the SEC and Bowl, or Texas A&M and Bowlesby flat out got played by the SEC. I mean, it's one of those when you like to say chestnut checkers. I mean, that's really what's going on right now. Sankey, so Slive made these gentlemen's agreements, and the SEC East teams had these gentlemen's agreements, the ones that I talked about with you, right, that you don't bring your rivals in. These were all with Slive. These are all with people that aren't around anymore for the most part. And as you know, there's no gentleman's agreement in the SEC or anywhere in college football, right? It's not. Yeah. It doesn't exist. They got played. And so what it sounds like to me is that we are en route to some sort of this big separation of, are we going to have two 24s? So essentially it's four 12s, but are we going to have two 24s? Or I don't know what's going to happen, but we're in this really unique situation right now because, yeah, the SEC is not playing around.
Yeah, man. So the other thing that the SEC isn't playing around with. So I knew the SEC made a lot more money than, or more money than the Big 12. I don't know if this
one. It's a lot more money.
It's a lot more money.
Yeah.
So they said that the Big 12 made $439 million. SEC, $720 million.
Now, you do the math differently because the math is 10 versus right. 14.
Right.
So the math is different. So the breakdown is important so that it's not as separate, but it's still – it's a large gap, and if you take Texas and Oklahoma out of the – it's like taking Wisconsin and obviously on a much grander scale, but it's taking Wisconsin and Minnesota out of the WCHA. It's taking Michigan and Ohio State and Michigan State out of the CCHA. What happened to those leagues in hockey? They wither away basically to basically nothing status or just actually evaporating altogether. The Big 12 becomes – like the Big East separation, right? The AACL became a secondary conference in just like every sport. Why UConn said, we got to get back to the Big East in basketball.
Right.
Because the AAC is a secondary conference in everything. And that's what the Big 12 is threatening to happen to them. They're going to become another Mountain West conference, essentially, as teams try to jostle for position. If they can't keep Texas and Oklahoma, which they're not going to be able to do.
They're not going to be able to do it. So, as you know, and we can get to the break on this. So the conversation shifted to what we sort of talked about last week. And it's probably Kansas is reaching out to the Big Ten as opposed to the other way around. Because for basketball, it's like, man, what a name. But basketball, and football,
right?
I mean, football is for a different reason, but it's double because not only are they the dreg when it comes to the scruples that they don't have, but they are horrible on the field.
Okay, so compare the of Kansas to the of Rutgers when we come back on the other side.
We will get to that, folks. We are live on location. We are going to be at Jim Harbaugh's golf outing today. We're going to talk to the entire staff. What we don't bring you on air today, we will have for you on air tomorrow and throughout the week. So a wealth of updates heading into fall camp. I believe they're starting. I think things pick up August 6th. So, give you some good intel heading into that. But we got to get to a break back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.